Welcome back to Jules on the Hustle. Today I have special guest and friend all the way from Colombia, Maria Camila Osorio Serrano. Try to say that 5 times fast. Let me know how that goes. She is 18 years old, and last year at the 2019 Junior U.S. Open, she won. She was the U.S. Open champ in my beautiful state of New York. Then she became the number one junior in the world and 184 in the WTA Tour. She also has represented Colombia on their Fed Cup team. Looking forward to catching up with her to see how things are in Colombia, how she's doing in quarantine, and all that good stuff. So without further ado, Maria Camila Osorio Serrano.
Hey,
how are you doing?
Good, and you?
Good, a long time no see.
I know, since US Open, right?
Since the US Open, exactly. Yeah. How is everything?
Good, excellent.
Good, hanging in there.
Fine.
You're in Colombia, right?
In Colombia, yeah.
I'm going to start recording the screen if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, so how is the coronavirus situation in Colombia right now?
Well, I think it's really tough, like the same in the whole world, but yeah, we have to stay home and wait until, you know, everything stop and everything is fine.
Yeah, do you know how many cases you guys have? Probably less than the United States, right?
Yeah, not less. We have like 1,000, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Or two, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have, that's a lot.
Oh, it's a lot, of course. But like in New York, we have like 150,000. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy, yeah.
How weird is it? Like, you know, you won the Junior US Open last year in New York. Now the USTA Billie Jean King National Tennis Center is a hospital. Did you know about that? How weird is that?
I was surprised when I saw the news and I saw that it's a hospital now.
Yeah.
But, well, that's super good and good that they can help and they can do something for people that is struggling with all this, the COVID and all this thing.
Absolutely.
So I'm happy also because of this.
Yeah. I saw you're doing a lot of workouts at home. I saw on your Instagram.
We can't go out, so I have to, you know, keep working and try to not get fat this quarantine. But yeah, still working with my brother. He's doing my fitness right now for me. He's like my coach right now. He's a soccer player, so he can help me with all this workout.
Does he play professionally?
Yeah. He's a professional soccer player
for Colombia.
For Colombia.
So where does the athleticism come from? Are your parents athletic or?
Yeah, like all my family used to play sport. My grandfather, he went to the World Cup for Colombia in 1962 or something. So yeah, like all my family used to do sport.
Wow.
No one plays tennis, but all my family do.
So you're the first tennis player?
Yeah, I'm the first tennis player.
Well, that's cool. Something good.
Yeah, it's funny because no one knows what is going on. When I'm playing, they just cheer, they just scream every time I'm playing, but they don't understand what's happening.
That could be good or bad. It's good because if something goes wrong, you're like, oh, they don't know. or bad, if you're doing well and they're like not that excited, you're like, be more excited. This is good.
here with my family, they all go crazy when I win something. Doesn't matter if it's just a set or...
That's so interesting you say that. I feel like you have such a supportive following, whether it's your family, your friends, or your fans. How great has the support been from, you know, your Colombian fans or fans all over the world?
Well, it's super good. It's unreal. And, you know, after the US Open, I start getting more people, like, cheering for me and more people following me. So that's super, super good. And I just get so motivated. And now I'm like, well, now I have to do better because they're looking what I'm doing. So
yeah, absolutely. Have you picked up any, you know, hobbies or new interests while you've been in quarantine? Maybe something you didn't know that you enjoy?
Well, before the quarantine, I was learning how to play the ukulele.
The ukulele.
The ukulele, yeah.
And now?
And now I'm doing better. Like I learned all this, like 3 or 4 songs. So I'm just playing. So it's fun.
Do you have your ukulele with you?
Yeah, it's right here. But I'm not gonna do it because maybe I can, you know, messed up and I don't want to do that.
Alright, okay, well, let me know if you want to play me a little bit or like a line or two. I don't know what the words, you know, a line or a chord. I don't know. Let me know if you want to play me a little bit. So how have you been able to communicate with your friends or your family?
Well, it's funny because my grandma is like next to my house and I can't go and visit her, so it's tough. But we're like, I'm calling all my friends and my family, and we just keep in touch.
Yeah.
Thank God, we have the phone.
Yeah, exactly. FaceTime and phone calls, you know, they really make a big difference. All right, so for some more tennis-specific questions, you are the number one junior in the world, correct?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was. No, I'm not a junior anymore.
Oh, okay. So you were number one after you won the Junior U.S. Open?
Yeah.
Yeah. How did that feel when the new ranking came out and you saw yourself at the top of the list?
I couldn't believe I was number one. I mean, after I won US Open, I was happy because I won the slam and that was like one of my dreams. And, you know, before finishing the junior and everything, I was like, okay, I want to win a slam. But the next day, I woke up like at 6 a.m. because someone called me for an interview and the guy told me, so you're number one now in the world, how do you feel? I didn't know. I was just waking up and I was like, what? I'm number one in the world.
Wow. What were you before the U.S. Open?
Do you remember? Like 8 or 6.
Six. And then and then you went to one. Well, that's a great feeling.
Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah, no, whenever I saw you at the U.S. Open last year, you were busy with, like, media and the fans. The thing people don't know about the U.S. Open is it's very hectic. Like, you play your match and then you get off the court, but that's not the end. Like, you get pounded with the media, the fans. To get back to your hotel, it's, like, chaotic because New York is crazy. What can you say about that week and just how hectic it was, like, the whole week?
Well, as you say, everything, it's, like, so crazy. I love New York because of that, because you know, you always have something to do.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the whole week, when I start playing, like, I have some people from Colombia cheering, so it was fine. But also, you know, the doubles, Colombian doubles team won the US Open, too. Do you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, yeah, so the people that who were, like, cheering for them, they came to my matches because I was from Colombia, so it was also real. And then I finished it, and I don't know, after the semifinal, when I won the semifinal, I went to the final, I had to do media and all this stuff, and I had to wait, like, I don't know, for 3 hours before the final. I mean, that day, I had to wait there. I didn't eat anything. I went to eat something like at 10 p.m. And then I went to sleep at like at 12. And then I had to wake up early the next day for the final and everything. So that was crazy.
Oh my goodness.
I was excited for that, yeah. So.
Did you have any like off time to do anything fun in New York that you enjoyed? Maybe a specific restaurant or a Broadway show or walking around the city? Was there anything you really enjoyed?
Yeah, I love walking around the city. I went to the Times Square like 2 or 3 times a week with my brother.
That's awesome.
Because we were like near, we were like two, I don't know how to say that. We were so close. We were like 5 or 10 minutes walking.
So I live in New York, obviously, and every time I go to the city, like, I don't live in the city, I live in Long Island, but whenever I go to the city, I feel like I'm a tourist. Like, I am always so inspired, and I get chills, especially when I'm, like, in Times Square, so many lights, and it's just crazy to know right now that it's empty. Right now, it's empty there, you know? Like, I'm used to seeing it packed. Yeah, so it's really weird.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and you mentioned... After the U.S. Open, you got a lot more fans, obviously. Everyone knew who... I know your name is Maria Camila Osorio Serrano. Give me the shortened version, please.
Just call me Cami.
Cami. Okay, that's a little shorter than the whole forename thing. Cammy.
You know, all the employers ask me the same question. They're like, wait, what do you want, how do you want to be called? Do you want Osorio Serrano, Osorio, do you want Maria, do you want... I'm like, I don't care, just...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Cammy. I'll go with Cammy. Yes, you said you picked up a lot of new fans and supporters. Did you feel like... how did you feel like the tournaments after the U.S. Open were? Like, did you feel like there was more pressure on you? Did you feel more confidence?
Well, I try not to get pressure or anything. I just try to relax. And I get also confidence. Like, after that, I played a 60K and I did semifinal. Mm-hmm. And I was super excited because I was like... First time I played 60K. Yeah. Well, not first 60K. Like the first 60K was with you that I played with you.
Oh, the one we played in Kentucky. Oh my gosh.
That was the only one that I played. Yeah. So like all these years I've been playing 25 and 50K, 50 games. And then when I played that one, I made semifinal. I was super happy and excited that I did, you know, well. And I also get the points to I was super close to getting to the top 200. And my goal was getting into Australia, so so no, I didn't get like pressure. I was just so happy, and I had a lot of confidence after US Open. And
Sure. You took it as a positive, really. Did you believe that you could? You know, did you expect yourself to do as well as you did at the US Open and like in the 60K after? Did you expect it, or did you believe that you can do it, or was it just like a total surprise to you?
Well, you know, I was trying to win or do something in Islam.
Yeah.
Like for 3 years. But before the US Open, I played 225Ks and I won both. So I was like with a lot of confidence. When I get there, I was just like, okay, if I can win like a professional tournament, why I can, you know, win a junior, a junior slam.
Yeah.
And yeah, like after I win, like I knew I can do it. Like I could do it. But when I did it, I don't know. The feeling was so weird.
Yeah, what people don't realize is that the 25Ks are just as competitive as, like, a 60K. You know what I'm saying? Like, the competitors in them are just as difficult because in tennis we don't have, like, rules where if you're ranked like this, you can't play a lower level tournament. Somebody ranked top 50 can play a 25K. You know what I'm saying? I think we actually need specific rules because that's crazy. I know I played it was a 25,000 in Pennsylvania a few years back, and I'm not even kidding. So I got in as a wild card because I didn't have a ranking as I was finishing college. And I got in as a wild card, and I don't know how, but I made it to the final. But on the way there, I played like so many top like 200 ranked players. So I mean, it just doesn't matter what level the tournament is; it's just as competitive.
No, even you can play like people that is playing also WTAs.
Exactly.
I was playing in Mexico at 25K last year, and I guess that I was ranked like 145 or something. Mm-hmm. These type of girls are playing now like WTAs, you know, also these big tournaments, so it's like crazy.
Do you think there should be a rule about like a certain ranking can't play in a lower level tournament? Like, do you think there should be restrictions?
Well, I don't know. I like to play these type of tournaments also, you know, these girls, because you know, you get more level and you can compete with all these top players. So like for me it's good because of the level, not the points or anything. I just that it's good for me. I don't know, maybe for other people, but for me it's good to play this girl.
So what have you noticed the biggest differences have been between, you know, the WTA and then the ITF pro circuits or junior circuits, really?
Well, be a junior and be a professional, it's two different things, two different sports, I said, because, you know, in juniors, you're more relaxed, you don't have to think that much.
Yeah.
You do a lot of stuff, and you're like, you're a kid. But when you get to play, like, these professional tournaments, you see all the players that are super focused on what they want, and off the court, not only on the court, but off the court, they're super, I don't know, they do everything right.
Wow.
So
you actually see the difference. Wow.
Yeah, I do. I have a lot of things to learn because I just started here, but it's unreal. I think that's the big difference.
I guess because, like, as a junior, people are still figuring out what they want to do later in life. Maybe if they want to be pro or they want to go to college or maybe nothing related to tennis. Whereas when you're a pro, you've decided that this is the route you want to take for the rest, not the rest of your life, but for a very long time, and you're taking it seriously. You want to do it to live, really. So yeah, I guess the love of the game is different. Maybe it goes deep into the core kind of thing.
Of course, that's because, you know, it's the work that you have, and you're going to pay the bills with that. So.
Exactly.
You
know,
you're going to do your best.
It's true. Now, are you going to play any more junior tournaments, or is that it?
No, that's it.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
You finish with a strong ending there. So, I know right now we don't know when we're going to return to the tennis court, but did you have some goals set for yourself this year for the Pro Tour?
Yeah, I was expecting, you know, play these WTAs in this time to try to get into the big tournaments, maybe main draw, try to qualify to main draw stuff, but you never know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was my goal, try to get into the slams, into the main draw.
Main draw of the slams. Oh, that's great. And for people that may not know, what would you say your ranking has to be to get in the main draw? Is it different for each Grand Slam, you think?
Yeah, a little bit. In Australia, it's a little bit easier to get in because it's far from other players. I qualified for the qualies this year. And that was super close.
Really?
I just couldn't. Yeah, but yeah, in Australia, I think it's a little bit. It's not easy.
The ranking is maybe a little bit. You can have a little bit of a lower ranking and still get in, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, but typically, would you say it's about top what gets into the main draw?
Top. You're gonna be like 100.
About 100. Yeah, that's what I would say.
100.
Yeah, oh, that's a tough cut. Yeah. So you obviously competed for Colombia in the Fed Cup team, right?
Yeah.
I know do you feel like you're a celebrity in Colombia? When people see you around, you know, maybe at the supermarket, do they recognize you?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. The first week after US Open, I felt so famous. Every time I went to a restaurant or supermarket or anything, I was just walking, I don't know, coming to my house or something. People were stopping in the cars and asking me for pictures and everything. I was like,
oh my gosh. Because you were probably all over the news and stuff during the US Open, so everyone knew who you were and all that.
And also in Colombia, in the, I don't know how you say that, capital in Bogota.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's much bigger than in my city. My city is Cúcuta, that's almost city in the corner. So in Bogota, that is the capital and everything. I went there and people also recognized me. I was like surprised and everything because they were like, oh, Camila, in the airport, they were waiting for me, media, everything. So that's good. That's unreal.
Wow. How you liked that feeling? You liked it, it seems like.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I never felt that. And people were just so nice with me, so it was great. I like it.
Did you get to do, like, commercials or photo shoots because of it in Colombia?
Yeah, I did some for games and for a, how do you call it, magazines? Yeah, and everything.
Oh.
I don't know how you say it.
You say? Masons?
No, magazines.
Magazines! For magazines. Like, oh, that is so cool. Yeah. you played for Colombia in Fed Cup. Did you feel a difference on the court representing your country than maybe playing individually?
I love playing for Colombia. I love playing for my country. It's the best feeling ever. I said I'm a different person when I play for Colombia because, you know, it's the whole country that you're playing. It's not just yourself. So I do my best every time I go to a corner and I play for Colombia. transform myself.
How is the atmosphere on the court when you're playing for your country? Is everyone screaming and cheering for you?
Yeah, of course. And my team.
Your team. Yeah.
My team, yeah. So they're always like supporting each other. Yeah, and I'm the same. When they're playing, I'm just super, super active, and I'm always screaming and yelling for them. It's crazy.
Wow. So before we did this interview, I was thinking Camila probably, you know, a lot of her fans speak Spanish. So I was wondering, should I get a translator? Should I ask her to do half the questions in English, half in Spanish? And then I decided maybe if you have a special message you want to give to your fans. What language do you guys speak in Colombia? Do you speak Spanish? Is that
Spanish?
Is there a special message you want to give to your fans that support you every day in Spanish?
In Spanish. Okay.
Yes.
But you can understand Spanish or not?
I can't. I'll try. Let me try. Yeah. I'll try. I speak French. I speak French, Arabic, and English. I don't speak.
No, wait,
yeah, I don't speak Spanish. So let's hear. I'm going to try to understand it. And so let's see the message for your fans.
Bueno, a toda la gente que me apoya, muchas gracias por estar pendiente de mí, de mis resultados y de todo mi proceso. Espero seguir haciendo lo mejor posible. Y bueno, nada, tengamos paciencia y esperemos que hay que sacar lo mejor y lo más positivo de esta situación. Que bueno, esperamos volver a la cancha lo más pronto posible con toda la energía y hacer los mejores resultados. Well, that was a little bit long, and I don't know if you understand something,
but... No, I understood. So you said thank you to your... This is also a lot of guessing, too, but thank you to your fans. They've helped you in the process. Oh, I heard something with process, maybe.
Yeah.
And they give you attention. Did you say attention? I think I heard attention, and they just... Something along the lines of they helped motivate you and inspire. Something like that, you know.
And also I say that they gotta be patient because of all what is happening right now in the world, and that we're coming back and we have to be positive and wait until everything is done.
That's a beautiful message, really. It's for them, they're so anxious for you to return to the court, and by you saying, you know, be patient, I'll be back soon, it kind of gives them a warm feeling that things will be back to normal soon. So, just some fun questions now. Do you have a favorite movie or show?
I was watching Blindspot. I like that too.
Which one?
Blindspot.
I don't know what that is. Where is that? Netflix?
Netflix. And it's in New York also. Why don't I know?
Wow. Okay. I'm behind, I guess. Favorite food?
Colombian food.
So what is Colombian food?
We have this typical food that is called bandeja paisa, and it's with beans, and then you got we have avocado also in there, meat, egg. It's a big
play,
but it's super good.
So good.
You gotta come to Colombia and try it.
Yeah.
If there's a Colombian restaurant, go
and definitely. Oh, I love the sound of it. I love trying foods from different countries. I'm Lebanese, so I don't know if you had Lebanese food or Mediterranean food. It's really good too. Do you have a favorite song that you like to listen to when you're working out or to motivate you before the matches?
No, I actually hear like everything. I don't have any specific song, but in this quarantine and everything, you know that people are doing these TikTok things and everything. And there's a song that I love. It's not a song. I don't know what it's like. It's just a beat.
I was just listening to that before we went on this call. I swear, I was going like da, da, da. And then some people like put their hands down and like. Gosh, it's kind of like a nice, like, mellow, like, relax. I don't know. You like the sound? Oh, she froze up.
Yeah.
There you are.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just like it. I don't know why. Oh. So I just keep hearing that and doing my workout and everything. I'm like.
Well, I have a TikTok challenge for you, if that's okay.
Oh, you do?
Okay, maybe you've heard it, but anyway. Okay, so I'm going to ask you 3 questions, and you can't say no.
Okay.
Sound good?
Can't
okay.
Say no.
You can't say no. All right, so you have a red car, a black car, white car. Which car do you pick? Doesn't matter.
The black one?
Okay. And there's a door on the left, door in the middle, door on the right. Which door do you pick?
In the middle.
Middle. Okay, and again, there's a door left, middle, right. Which door do you pick?
Left.
Have you played this before?
No, never.
You said no? I got you. I told you, you can't say no. I've done this on so many people, and I always get it. Oh my gosh. You do this to your family.
Yes, and that's it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, say yes.
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 Yeah, well, do you have a challenge for me?
Challenge for you.
Or a dance?
Well, we have to do the same TikTok dance. You have to I don't know how, when you do like the two people do the same TikTok or everything. Yeah,
oh.
We have to do that.
To do what?
The TikTok.
Oh. So you're saying a dance or?
Yeah, the dance. The one. The
Oh, do, do, do. Do, 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 do.
No, the other one. No.
That's the easiest one.
We have to do it at the same time.
Right now?
Right now.
Okay.
Ready?
Ready.
Wait. Yeah, good. You count. You count to 3 and then we do it.
Okay. 3.
Ready?
3, 2, 1. Do, do, do.
Do,
do, do, do, do, do, do, do, do, do, do.
Go. And down.
Oh. I just came back from a workout, so I don't look very good, but it's okay. I went on a little run, so I can be ready to practice with you soon.
Good. <Yeah. laughs> That sounds good.
Guys, I just discovered Puffs Media, and they're here to fulfill all of our sports-related design desires. They create all sorts of customized and ready art designs. They create logos, posters, clothing designs, and much more. I just got a customized Julia, that is me, poster of me playing tennis, and let me tell you guys, the colors and photos are phenomenal on there. I am totally happy, 100% satisfied, and it was made really quickly. So be sure to email them at puffsmedia@gmail.com and follow them at puffsmedia, PUFFSMEDIA, to see more. Enjoy! That was very fun catching up with Kemi from Colombia. It's really interesting to talk to someone that is transitioning from being a top junior to now on the pro tour, seeing the differences. I always suspected that, you know, emotions and behaviors would be different on the pro tour from the junior tour, But to hear her say it kind of validates that my thoughts were, you know, correct, and that just it's just different. It's a different game. It's like when I was in college, everyone was really good, obviously, but there were people you can tell that were just going through the motions, or, you know, had different intentions. Whereas when you're in the pros, you know that everyone there wants to make it and wants to have a good living and stuff. So hearing that from her was awesome. She seems to be doing a great job handling the pressure post US Open, actually not even looking at it as pressure, more like motivation and stuff like that. Guys, I've had too much caffeine today. I am flying right now, but it's been good. I love my caffeine. I'm a New Yorker. I love my coffee. How many cups of coffee do you guys like? And that message from her in Spanish, I got nothing out of that one. I need to brush up my Spanish. Not just brush up, but learn Spanish, because I don't know any of it. I heard some words that sounded like English, and that's kind of like how I try to put words together and figure out the context through that. But yeah, my translation sucked. As always, guys, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jules Elbaba, at JulesElbaba. And if you have any questions or comments, be sure to leave them in the reviews. And if you like this podcast, be sure to subscribe so you can get alerted and notified when a new episode comes out. Well, that's everything for today. See you guys next time on Jules on the Hustle.